Welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. Each week I try to bring you the best in cantorial and Yiddish and all sorts of Jewish music. This evening will be a two-hour special featuring cantor Naftali Herstik. Many of you who have been tuning into the program know that a few weeks ago I was in Yerushalayim and I did interview cantor Moshe Stern. We had a Moshe Stern special last week or so. And now I had the opportunity to have a wonderful interview with cantor Naftali Herstik. We'll get to the interview and his music in a few minutes. Again, those of you who've been listening to the program know that this weekend, was Shabbat Chazanut at Kutcher's, sponsored by the Cantorial Council of America. And I have been there the last few days and this evening. So, as you can tell, this program was pre-recorded on Shabbos. I'm sure it was a magnificent Shabbos davening with cantors Pinchas Cohen, Yanky Lemmer, and Moshe Shur. And then the concert Saturday evening. And then on Sunday evening, which was last night, there was a dinner and concert, and I was so proud and pleased to receive an award for my work with Chazonis from the Cantorial Council of America. And now it's Monday evening, and I am giving a presentation on Jewish comedy and Chazonis. Quite a mixture. Those of you know that for the past 25 or 30 years or so, I have been giving a talk at the various shuls and before Jewish groups on Jewish comedy with recordings and Myron Cohen and Mickey Katz and the like. So that should be a lot of fun. So before we get to the interview, I'm going to split the interview into two sections, a half hour in the first hour and a half hour in the second, and we'll intersperse wonderful music of Chazan Naftali Herstik. So without further ado, let's start with the first selection, which will be Seem Shalom.
Seem Shalom, Toivo Verocho, Chene Vochesere Verachamim, Oleinu Ver Kol Yisroel, Amecho. Seem Shalom, Toivo Verocho, Chesed v'rachamim, Oleinu ve'al kol Yisroel, Amecho. Oleinu ve'al kol Yisroel, Amecho. Borecheinu, Avinu, Kulanu k'yechad, Kulanu k'yechad, V'yoyer b'nechad. Yeah.
We started off with Seem Shalom. The next selection with Cantor Naftali Herstick is the Shamru.
Oh,
Naftali Hrsek with Vashamru. The next selection will be Ritzay.
Ritzay, Ritzay, Ritzay,
Before we get to the interview, let's hear one selection with the father and the son, Naftali Herstik, together with his son, Netanel. And this will be Misha Oso Nisim.
Misha Oso Nisim.
So beautiful, wasn't it? Father and son. Oh, just delightful. Naftali and Netanel. Okay, as I mentioned, I was in Jerusalem just a few weeks ago, and let's hear this first part of the interview with Naftali Herstik, and during the second hour, we'll complete it.
Well, I'm here in Jerusalem with the famous cantor Naftali Herstik, and I'm so pleased and proud that we're going to spend some time discussing Chazanis and a little bit or a lot about his thoughts of the future, the present and future of Chazanis. And first, we're going to start a little bit about your life. Boker Tov, Naftali.
Boker Tov, and a guten after Shavuos. We are meeting here on Friday morning at a very beautiful corner of Jerusalem. I hope that the noise will not disturb our conversation. Well, I was born in Hungary to a family where Chazanis and Bald Phyllis were already for many generations. They were all great Talmidei Chachamim, Rabbonim, Dayanim, but all had beautiful voices and they were known to be outstanding Baal Tefillah. And actually, a late uncle of mine, my father's eldest brother, Rabbi Ephraim Yosef Herstik, was also a cousin. He studied in Vienna by Frenkel and Leibisch Miller and all these greats at the time. And he, when he was in his 60s, made a research. He was at university, and he traced our family going back 13 generations.
Starting in Hungary?
No. Even the name changed. The name had to do with Frankfurt. Frankfurt.
Oh.
And it went back to northern Italy, and then to Frankfurt, and then to Bessarabia, then to Hungary and Romania, and then to Hungary. So my son Netanel is the 15th generation. We've got a doubt whether it's 14th or 15th.
Okay.
But that's it. That's how it is. So Shraga, Netanel are the 14th or the 15th generation. But I think you heard already my grandson, Leo, when he was with me in New York. And, okay, he's only 16, but he's on his way. So this is it.
When you left Hungary...
I was very young. I mean, I was a little boy of three and a half.
And you came to...
We came here, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My late father in Hungary davened also in Budapest in an important shul. But he was never a full-time chazan. He was a merchant with his business. And he went... but he davened Shabbosim and Yomim Noroim. And when he came here, he followed the same thing. He davened Yomim Noroim, he davened once a month. First in Rishon LeZion. People don't know, but in Rishon LeZion, Hirschman davened and Pinchik davened. And it was first of all, it was an affluent society at the time, very bourgeois and elegant. And they loved Chazanis. And that was the place. The great synagogue on Rishon LeZion had. So I remember as a little boy, my first solo there. Yep. So anyway, and that's how we grew up. My brother Chaim Eliezer and myself. My brother Natan was born much later. He's 15 years my junior.
Okay.
But he also.
Has he recorded?
He has recorded, yes. But you heard him in New York.
Okay.
You heard him. We came, the three of us, myself,
right.
Chaim Eliezer, and Natan. Uh-huh. And we're down with Netanel. That was about 2 years ago in the winter. So anyway, we were lucky that some of the family survived the Holocaust. First of all, my great-uncle, my father's uncle, who was a great Talmud Chochem and who was a tremendous chazan. He was a chazan in South Hungary, davened with a choir. He was the shoichet of the town, and he was the poisek as well. The people came to him with questions, with shilas. And he was elected to be the cantor of the great synagogue in Budapest, in the Kazinci.
In
the 30s.
Uh-huh.
And that was when their chazan died suddenly, the chazan there, in thing that is, I remember his name, but not this minute. He had a heart attack just a month before Rosh Hashanah, and they were looking, and they couldn't find. They were looking, and they couldn't find anybody who was good enough. And what they did an exchange with his community. He should come and daven Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and they sent somebody there, and he had a tremendous success. When I was the first time in Budapest for concerts in 1990. A lot of people came over to me who remembered that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur.
Wow.
Yeah. And they wanted him to stay, to be their permanent chazan, but when the Rav, who was a real highly orthodox, great Rav, found out that he didn't eat from anybody's shechita but his own, he was shechting for himself and eating from his own shechita. That ended the story. So he went back to his place, and he was here in Tel Aviv. And in
this is your uncle,
my great uncle,
your great uncle.
And he was like the father of the whole family. You know, everybody. But he himself had six daughters and a son. The son is also a cousin, Rav Moshe Hershtik, sure. And we used to meet every Motzei Shabbos. And what did they do? Dvar Torah and Chazonos. You know, he's a big. The family was a big fan of Vigoda at the time. I remember when I was a boy of four. Vigoda was just here at the time, and then great fans of the Kusevitskis. Oh yeah, and Shievida and all those who came, and they used to. I mean, he was a very, very, very impressive man. Uh-huh. He was a real figure. I mean, he was taller than me, the long beard. Very, very handsome man. Looked like Moshe Rabbeinu came down from heaven. And he went up to Moshe Kusevitzky after the davening and kissed him. I mean, the whole shul was... And Moshe himself was in awe.
His name was...
Rav Mordechai Hershtik. In Tel Aviv, they knew him very well, but because every year when it was... Asor HaBeteves was announced to be the day of Kaddish for all those who didn't know when the date of their parents. Yom HaKaddish HaKlali. And they used to have a big service in the Great Shul in Tel Aviv, and he used to have Mincha. And the people came for his Mincha.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody remembers that. The way he davened, the way he was, actually speaking to the Almighty, Mamesh. Once he came and visited his daughter who lived in London. He had another daughter in Manchester. That was in the years when I was in London. And I invited him. I had the courage to invite him to daven him, to ask for Shabbos. And he Friday night, he came to shul. He liked the shul very much. He had an asthma attack during the night. I nearly had to call the ambulance. But he said no. And in the morning on the way to shul, I asked him if he wants to go to shul. Yes. Well, I asked him, would you maybe daven for an omer? He said yes. The people knew nothing. And I don't know whether you know Finchley Synagogue. It's a long, it's a big shul, right. Long. And the entrances are from the sides, not from the back. And there is a... you can go in as far as only three rows, and then there is a barrier if it's in the middle of Kedusha, middle of Bochum, middle of Leining. So a lot of people came when he started the Chazoras HaShatz, and then the barrier was put up, and the people came in, and he was davening, and they saw him from the side. They never knew what happened. They saw this tall man with a long beard standing there with a voice that was shaking the shul.
Wow.
And he was davening with tears. The people, they didn't know what hit them. They said, we thought Moshe Rabbeinu descended from heaven.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And I grew up with that, with my father, where they're discussing Chazonas and Nusach HaTfilah all the time. They were everybody who davened. My late father had a phenomenal musical memory. He heard a chazan daven once, and if it was interesting, he remembered most of it. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't interesting, he preferred to forget. But it was amazing. I remember once when the first Shabbos of Shir Vida in Tel Aviv, I think it was in 58 or 59, and my father, Zichron Eroche, was some other Chazonim who lived out of town, and they were all invited to us. They stayed with us. Not there was that there was so much space. If you look at my back, it's a very straight back because I used to sleep a lot on the rugs. People had to sleep in my bed, but I was happy about it. Even on my Shabbos bar mitzvah, when I davened in the great synagogue in Tel Aviv, Father Ahmed, I slept on the floor.
On the guest
room. Sure. Anyway, so they were coming home, and he said an Avorachamim that was unbelievable. I remember Yitzhak Eishel, Avraham Carmel. I don't know, remember.
I have a recording of him.
Carmel.
Yes.
And then my great uncle, and some other Chazonim. Their names you wouldn't remember. No. And they came up, and my mother prepared Kiddush and so on. And they started to talk about the Avraham. And my father started to sing it. They remembered almost all of it.
Interesting. Yeah. I just want to step back for a second. You mentioned that you...
You lived in Tel Aviv.
You were in England for a while.
Seven years.
Well, just go through a little bit of your
history. Yes. Myself?
Yours,
okay.
And we'll go back, but I was not aware that you were in...
In England. Yeah. So we'll go back to that.
Okay.
We'll go back.
Okay.
So anyway, this was... I was lucky in that way. And then I was lucky another way. We grew up next to my father, who was a fantastic chazan. He never had the colossal voice. He was a baritone, but with tremendous... it was a very fragile voice. He could do any coloratura, anything. And he was a great zoger. His nusach was unbelievable. And then there was another thing. He had a real way of classy standing Father Ahmed, like a Kohen Gadol. And that's something that I think I took over, because for me that was... For him, Chazones was not Chazones. It was Avodas Hashem. It was serving of God. And it was, for him, when he was standing there, it was for him like the Kohen Gadol and Beis HaMikdash. And especially when it came to Rosh Hashanah Kippur. I don't even want to give you examples, but it was really like that.
If you tuned in a little late, this is an interview with Cantor Naftali Herstik. It took place in Jerusalem just a few weeks ago. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, I am presently at Kutcher's giving a presentation on Jewish comedy and on Chazonus. Let's get back to the interview.
We grew up with that, and we grew up with all... Don't forget that I'm talking to you the early years, the 50s, the early 60s, when from 54, 55 onwards, we had Sholem Katz. We had... I didn't hear Moshe Osher. That was before I became here. But we had Sholem
Mandel. Was Mandel here?
Shlomo Mandel. Sure. Now, but I'm talking about the Kusevitzkis, the two brothers, and then Simcha came in 63, I think. We had and a lot of Shabbosim, not only concerts, Shabbosim in Tel Aviv. We had Shir Vida, as I said. We had Genshov. We had, as I said, Vigoda. We had Shmuel Malavsky. But you name it, they all came to visit Eretz Yisrael, and they davened. And I had the zchus to hear all these people. Apart from the fact that in the great synagogue in Tel Aviv, we had Shabtai Ackerman, Fischl Rosenberg, Shabtai Ackerman, and then Yoshua Lehrer, and then Benjamin Unger. My father davened also a few Shabboses there, but he didn't want a full-time job. They needed a full-time chazan. And then not far from there, we had, in Moishev Skenim, we had the great synagogue was also there, with a full choir, with Israel Fuchs conducting it. Then we had Moishev Skenim, we had, he was davening for many, many, many years. He died only last year on the beach. Beautiful lyric voice. He came to New York from Antwerp. He came from Romania. Beautiful chazan. Forgot his name. Avram. Anyways, I heard him there. I heard Yitzchak Eishel, who was chazan in the Fishman Shul with the choir. Leib Glantz.
Really?
I heard Leib Glantz live many times. And what was outstanding from the age of about 14 and a half till he passed away. I used to meet him. He used to sit almost outside his home on Shderot Keren Kayemet, which is Shderot Ben Gurion now. And I knew when he was sitting there, he knew very well who I was, and we were talking about Chazanot.
Really?
Yes.
Leibglanz. He was so special. He was
outstanding. The man was a genius.
And unique.
He was not very unique, but it's very knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a very, very sociable man. He had great friends, all the poets and great writers and musicians. They were all his friends and the big leaders of Mapai.
Oh, really?
Because he was a great leader of Pale Israel in America. I think maybe even still back before he came to America in Kishinev or in... He was a great speaker, great speaker, and a great, And when he came here, he was very friendly with, they came to his davening, the speaker of the Knesset, and Zalman Shazar, who became the president, and even, I think even Ben-Gurion once came, it was not a great shul-goer, but I think once he came, even he came, all of them. So that's why, I mean, we grew up with all that.
Right. And you knew you were going to become a chazan when you were in your teens?
Whether I knew or I didn't, we were wunderkinder, you know.
Yes.
At the age of 7, 8, my repertoire consisted of Ano Avdo by David Kusevitsky, Udivri Kochechozet Moshe Kusevitsky used to sing, S-O-N-I, then later, V'hu Rachum Mim Koimcho, by Vider. I mean, you're talking about much, much, much before my bar mitzvah.
Gotcha. Interesting.
And then when I was 13, I was my bar mitzvah. I davened in the great synagogue in Tel Aviv with a choir.
Wow.
Yeah.
Too bad we don't have recordings of that.
No. And as it happens, when my brother Chaim Eliezer came to the point of recording, he was already... right after his bar mitzvah.
Is he older or younger?
He's younger, 2 years younger.
Oh, okay.
When I was 15, I was already like that. Okay, and I was conducting my fight, became the choir master.
Wow. Interesting.
I didn't like the one who was conducting 1 year for my father, you know. And my father was upset. I said, "Dad, Abba, don't be upset. His contract is up. He was here only for a few months. I'm taking over the choir." I was not 14 yet.
I want to cover also choirs. I am very, very upset that in America, in New York, we don't have, you know, there are a couple small choirs, but we don't have
the big
you have them in England, and you have them in South Africa, and in Australia.
In England, also not anymore. They've got
the Shabbaton
choir, but they don't operate in a shul,
once in
a while. There is a very good choir, you know, Mark Temelis's choir, the Neymar choir, but that's only 18 people.
Oh.
Which is not bad. It's a fantastic choir.
Well, and your Taki choir, I mean, we'll get to that. Okay, but I do want to I love choirs.
You can tell.
Okay, so you were raised with all this.
I was raised with all that, uh-huh. And as it happens, I didn't think I was going to be to become a chazan. I loved classical music as well. I used to sneak out of school and go to the rehearsals of the Israeli opera at the time. Which the rehearsals used to take place between 10 and 1, and I used to sneak. I was a very good student, and I could afford it to just disappear. You know, when it came to the test, I was always top. So, and I did it quietly. Nobody noticed, but I was gone.
Right.
Yeah. So I remember, for instance, that was a few years later. I was already 16 or so. I remember Domingo. There was a strike of the orchestra. In the Israeli opera at the time, with Edith de Philippe, and they wouldn't play the rehearsal, and they were rehearsing for Carmen, and Placido Domingo sat to the piano and played the whole orchestral part by heart.
Wow,
he played it well.
Uh-huh.
The young boy was at 22 or 3 there.
Do you play an instrument, by the way?
I play a bit of piano. No, not really. No,
uh-huh.
I when I started the Royal College of Music, my role as a pianist was to pass every year. That's all. Because I was studying singing,
right.
Opera,
so
artistic singing.
You thought of becoming an opera singer?
No, not really, but I wanted, I'll tell you.
Okay.
This is a real story which will... when I was about 8 or 9, my late father had... He was in the textiles, and he was traveling a lot in Israel. And he had no car. He was carrying 2 suitcases and the samples and so on. To the big... And sometimes he didn't come home till quite late at night, and by bus and this and that and the other. And we used to go to sleep already. And we had these big old Philips radios, you know,
sure.
Half of this table.
Sure. Yes.
One day he comes home. It was around 9, 10 at night. It was dark. Only my mother was sitting waiting for him in the kitchen. It was dark, and the radio was on. And there was a program of the great bel canto singers, like Tito Skipa, Gilly, McCormack. All these singers of, you know, the great singers of the some of early Caruso. And I was listening to it. Most of it was aria antiche. Not even, only some arias, but most of it was aria antiche and art songs. And I was sitting in the lounge and listening to it. And my father comes into the room, turns on the light, and he sees that I was crying. He said, "What happened? Why are you sad? Did you have a bad dream?" I said, "No, I didn't go to sleep. I was listening to the radio." "So why are you crying?" I said, "Listen, did you hear these singers?" I said, "Yes, I heard a bit of Gilly. It was really beautiful." I said, "Listen, there was an hour now of this music." He says, "I love it so much." I said, "I'm going to be a chazan, but I'm going to sing like this goyim." And from that day onwards, I was always looking to sing beautifully. And you know, it paid off. One day, November 1989, Moshe Genchov stayed in this very hotel,
really?
Here in Jerusalem, and he came to hear me Shabbos morning. I knew that he was coming, and obviously, and I told the people that he's here, and I'm going to daven a bit longer than the usual, because of...
Sure.
By the way, I made history. The only time when I spoke in shul, I welcomed him, and I spoke about him.
Wow.
And then, at the end of the davening, you know, people are gathering, you know, and they ask him about that. And he said, you know, what he said. And then he said, "But you know why I like him most? Because he can sing like a guy."
Oh, no. That's funny.
you know exactly what he meant. That I could sing a beautiful classical line and so on. And I was working on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I grew up with all that.
Uh-huh.
And I used to sneak in or go to the concert at the Men Auditorium at that time. I had Tucker and Pierce and all these. Chavre. By the way, I heard them both daven in the Great Synagogue. Yeah.
Pierce?
Yeah. Tucker and Pierce. Tucker I heard Friday night and Shabbos Musaf twice. Pierce I had once davening Shabbos Musaf.
Brother, just as a whole aside, you know, I discovered Chazanus late in life. I was 41 years old. It was 1977. It was in the beginning, and I didn't have the massive collection
that I have today.
But I started with Pierce and Tucker because I loved their voice.
Yeah.
Oh, I had Bavinim that said, "You don't know what you're talking about. These are not Chazanim." You know, it took me years to get out of. But I still love Tucker's Kiddush.
Sure.
But the Bavinim, you know.
Oh, yes. It's true.
They really came down on me. Like, "You don't know anything. If you really like Pierce and Tucker, Bernie Beer has a brother, Yossi, and he was my mentor. One day he said, "I'm not going to listen to you anymore on the radio because you don't know what you're talking about." Because they were Hirschman. You know, that family adored Hirschman.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Anyway, it's a whole new world.
Sure.
Anyway, so that's great that you're... I heard them,
and you could hear that Tucker was a chazan once in his life, you know, in his younger years. My peers, you were looking for that. He was a very nice man.
Right.
He knew how to daven Musaf, but that was it.
Just go through your cantorial career, just your first...
My first job, is now I'll tell you how. When did I decide to become a chazan? When I was about 16, no, when I was 16 and a half, that was the first time when I sang.
Oh, okay.
I had to sing.
Okay.
Because my brother, Chaim Eliezer, who was already then 14 and a half almost, mm-hmm. his voice started to break, and they still had contracts for concerts in America. He was with my late father in America. And my father was davening, Shir Vida died suddenly, and they took my father to daven in Adas Yishurun in Montreal.
Oh.
And my father was away with my brother on the roads and the concerts. And so my father called me over to help me to sit with the choir that was there.
In Montreal.
In Montreal, to learn the things, and when he comes, I should...
I see.
Okay, so that... And then I sang a couple of duets with my brother. It turned out that I had a very nice voice. Then there was a concert in December in Winnipeg. It was 30 odd below zero. The snow was almost so high you couldn't see beyond it. And we were sure the shul was going to be empty. It was in Beit Jacob, where Yaakov Kosevitsky used to be the chazan once upon a time.
In Winnipeg?
It's Rosh Pina. It was Rosh Pina Synagogue. In
Winnipeg?
In Winnipeg.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember the chazan there. His name was Veron. It was a big conservative shul. Those days, Winnipeg used to be called Yerushalayim de Canada. It was a lot of Litvish Yidden. They loved chazanes. But I was sure, we were sure in such a weather it was going to be empty. But we prepared the concert. And my brother couldn't deliver the big numbers anymore. Not the Aneinu, not the Yerushalayim Lichor, not this, not that. We had to fill in the concert. So while I was sitting with a pianist, bringing down the tone for my brother, working it all out with her, you know, writing into the music, you know, you hear instead of that chord, you play that chord, that chord, into the music, right. Because there was no time to rewrite everything. Mm-hmm. My father said, "Why don't you try and sing this?" I sang. He said, "Oh, you're going to sing this tonight. Oh, tomorrow night." He said, "Me? Yes." It was Rachem no Bayosele. It was Favos Zing Tachazen. And it was Eilo Devorim.
Hirschman's. Uh-huh.
And you know, the headline, first of all, the place was mobbed. 1,800 people sat in that concert.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
What year was this about? In the 50s?
I remember the name of the pianist, Sarah Levy. She was the choir master and as well. She was.
This was in the
1963.
63, okay.
I was 16 years old.
Right.
And the following day, what was the, what's his name? A new Richard Tucker was born tonight.
I love it.
Yeah. So this is it. And then, from then on, from time to time, I sang a piece here and there on a concert. But that was it. I was not... And then one, after the last exam in Yeshiva High School, Shabbos, we come to shul in the Great Synagogue in Tel Aviv, because that was the closest big shul next to us, and that's where we used to daven when my father didn't go to his shul, which was far away. And Chazan Unger was ill. He was sick. The shul was packed. It was in the summer. There was a big bar mitzvah. 25-man choir standing there. And they asked my father to daven. My father said, did Chazan Unger ask me specifically? He said, no, but he's ill. My father said, I'm a professional chazan. It's not ethical of me to go unless he himself said that I should daven.
Wow.
Okay, so somebody went over and davened it. Shachris was an absolute catastrophe. A catastrophe. Just before Maftir the Gaboim, the three of them, and we are talking about, they come to me and said, Yanke Hashtik, you davened here in your bar mitzvah, we remember you. A few weeks ago, when Shmuel Malavsky was here with his daughter, you sang upstairs, let's say, by the Schlossberg piece. It was beautiful. He wanted to eat you up. said, you can do it. Why don't you do it for us? So I said, what? You heard what my father said. So my father said, and who are you? You are a boy. You think you can help it? Grow up.
Wow.
So I must tell you.
It was a shirt.
Yeah, I was. I didn't know what to do. But before I knew it, I was standing up there again with a 25-man choir behind me. So on my way from where I sat with next to my father to the bimah, I was sort of telling myself a may belief. You make it sort of a may belief, an auto suggestion that I was a younger brother of the Kusevitskis. And you know it works. It works.
I love it.
It works. You know.
Yes.
I was. I thought. Well, I didn't know yet. Though I spoke to the Kusevitskis a lot. I didn't realize that Yaakov was next to Moshe. I thought that Yaakov was the youngest for some reason. Uh-huh. So I thought I was like Yaakov but younger.
I see. Interesting.
Anyway, you cannot imagine the success. You cannot imagine. So, the choir, the members of the choir carried me down on their hands after the davening. Wow. And, I was not lightweight those days. And my father, my late father, we are walking home on Rothschild Boulevard, and my father puts his arm around me, and he says, look, son, you did very well, but there is a lot that you've got to learn still. I said, I know. I said, no. You had such a great success. I mean, don't forget, people didn't expect anything. I mean, and you did so well. So, but don't let it distract you. You've got, if you want to go this way. So first of all, he made sure I'm not too. But then we walk, and he says, look, the truth is that you've got it. You're going to be one of the three greatest chazanim of the next generation. I'm sure of that. I said, yeah. I want you to study, to work hard, but do yourself a favor. I want you to study another profession. You've got a good cop. So I said, Abba, if I've got, I didn't call him Abba, I called him Apu in Hungarian. Apu, if I'm going to be such a great chazan, what do I need another profession for? He said, I'll tell you why. I don't want any gabbai of yours to think that you can breathe only through his nostrils.
Yes.
And that is a great lesson, as you know very well, my son Etanel is going to pass the bar now after he did his second degree in law.
Yes.
His master's in law.
Yes. By the way, just as an aside, people are always coming to me, young guys, they want to become a chazan, not that I'm such a mumcha, and I always say, listen, I don't know, maybe you are one of the greats, but if you're not, get a profession, earn a living, and let this be something that you're not dependent upon. I mean, it's a shanda, but that's the reality.
That's it's not only that. It became even more so in recent years, and we'll end our interview at the end about that. Members of the board, presidents, chairmen, think that they own the chazan. Mm-hmm. He is their obligated servant.
Right. They're the masters, yep.
Mm-hmm. And this is bad.
Yeah.
This is bad.
Sure.
And this is what my father... my father wanted that people should respect me for what I am. Because that's what he did. He was a very, very highly respected person. And even Benjamin Unger, years after he was the chief cantor of the great synagogue in Tel Aviv, only then he gave up his other job. In Telma he was working. In Luban. Luban, yes.
Okay, so what was your first job?
That was not my job.
No, I mean...
From there, people from Tel Aviv started to talk.
Right.
And I was invited to a bar mitzvah of a friend of mine, a brother of a friend of mine. And on that evening I sang already a couple of pieces, and the Gaboyim of the Bilu Shul were there. The Bilo Shul was an important shul then. Ravitz, Shlomo Ravitz, was the choir master, and he was. I was in Gansen 18 and a half. They asked me to come to daven the Shabbos. I daven the Shabbos. They took me immediately.
Uh-huh.
for a very high fee. I was tough. My father told me, you're going to ask so and so much. I saw their faces on Shabbos. And you know, we agreed. And they said, but you'll have to go to Ravitz. Now, this was about 5 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, 6 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. You'll have to go to Ravitz and learn his Nusach. And I said, okay. And I went to Ravitz, whom I respected very much. Everybody respected him. And he started teaching me, going over. And he said, I said, no, I'm going to open up to you all my secret vaults. And he had those big, I don't know how to call them. It was like a big box, like this table. He used to work on that box. He cleaned it, opened it up, and started taking out books of Gerovich, of Kashtan, of Weintraub, all the great of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century.
Their music?
Yeah, all written music. And because we went, you know, step by step, Nusach. He was very, very much impressed with how much I knew Nusach.
Right.
So I told him, listen, I grew up next to my father. I conducted the choir. I had to.
Sure.
I knew it all. But he said, I'll show you where this comes from and where this comes from. And listen to the original. And this was one thing that I learned from him. He really opened for me. Because as much as we talked at home, it was not theoretical. You know, it was, we talked about the pieces, we sang, we harmonized, we never, who is the makor, where is the original coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And with him, I started to dig into the books, into the old books.
Really?
And I became acquainted with all the oldest, you know, the style of Odessa and the style of Kishinev and the style of Bardichev. And, you know, that was all due to him. That's one thing. And another thing is, that he was very, very particular about the digduk in Hebrew. Very. And that is something that he implanted in me.
The digduk means the pronunciation?
Not only the pronunciation, the right way of not only the pronunciation, but the phrasing.
Okay.
The phrasing. The mile'el el mile'ra, when to where to put the accentuation. It was quite an eye opener for me. And even in London, where I davened Havara Ashkenazit later, where I davened Havara Ashkenazit, like, you know, the Ashkenazic. But when it came to the accentuations, and I used the absolute correct one.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Baruch Ato, but Baruch Ato, but Baruch Ato, and so on, all the way.
Okay, this is the end of the first part of my interview with Cantor Naftali Herstik. Stay tuned for the second hour. We'll continue with his wonderful music and with this interview that was performed in Israel just a few weeks ago.